right, everybody. We are back. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show.
Yes. We are.
This is the beginning of our second hour. Wiggle that thing again, girl.
I'm wiggling.
We're having some headphone problems over here. We got the, there you go. Oh,
nope.
Almost.
Anyway, you'll get it. We got a loose wire, I guess, and it's causing our headphones to go in and out a little bit. Hopefully you all can hear us. I hope it's not affecting the goodness that's coming out of our voices.
Right.
To entertain you this evening.
Let me entertain you.
Like I said, this is the start of our second hour. If you're just joining us, let me go ahead and reintroduce everybody quickly here in the studio. Across the table from me is my little girl, Hannah Claire.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. To her right is my blushing bride, Stephanie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To her right is my boy, Ty Ginn.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Mark, and I will continue to be your host for the rest of the evening.
Hold on.
So what we need to do, I think, Stephanie, because this never happened until we started moving our equipment around. So why don't we start a GoFundMe account where we can have people send us money so that we can get a whole new set of equipment that we can just have at the ready to take, you know, to take on the road. It just messed up again. But anyway, because I think the more we assemble and disassemble all this stuff, the more trouble we're going to start to have with all this stuff. So seems to be okay right now. Anyway, so we're back.
We're back.
If you want to give us a call, please do so at 727-498-0502. I would really enjoy a phone call. I don't care what you want to talk about. We'll talk about any old thing at any time during the show. So do that or tweet us at Marco Radio Show 1. Let's see. So
Marco Radio Show 1.
Marco Radio Show 1.
Marco Radio Show 1.
Sold! my next job, I'm going to be an auctioneer.
You could be. You could be. What was that phone number?
727-498-0502.
Sold.
Sold. The man with the white hair over there in the hat.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so here's something that's fun. Mom and I, the other night, we got our newest Netflix movie.
Yes.
Hannah, do you want to guess what it was?
What was it?
Ty, do you know?
I don't.
It was Goodbye, Christopher Robin.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Winnie the Pooh movie.
I didn't know that was out.
Yes.
Yes, and it's actually very good. When Mom told me what we were going to watch, I was like, the Winnie the Pooh movie?
Pooh movie?
Right? But, because I thought it was going to be like Ted.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was like Winnie the Pooh was going to be animated, that kind of thing. Not like that at all.
Not at all.
Not like that at all. Very good story. It talks about A.A. Milne, who is the author and the father of Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, he after he got out of World War I, decided that the world needed something to make them feel happy again. So he started writing these Winnie the Pooh books, basically based on his little boy, Christopher Robin, on his stuffed animals and the way he interacted with them. Now, here's something interesting about the story. Christopher Robin never went by Christopher Robin. Throughout almost his entire life, he went by the name Billy Moon.
Oh.
And you find that out in the movie.
Yes.
What?
Right.
They called him Billy Moon.
Right.
Even though his name was Christopher Robin.
Right. So his real name, Christopher Robin, but he went by Billy Moon. Hmm. I mean, all through school, everything. He went through as Billy Moon. Anyway, it's a good story. It's kind of sad because, you know, the guy, the dad, A.A. Milne, wrote the story pretty much to make people around the world happy again after the war, but also to sort of like, you know, write a story for Christopher Robin, for his son. And what turned out is that they became, all the stories became so popular that now Christopher Robin, as this little boy, is not being able to live like a little boy. He's now all of a sudden an international celebrity.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. And then when he starts to go to school and things like that, all the other kids bullied him. Even though he would go to school as Billy Moon, the kids would eventually find out that he was actually Christopher Robin, and give them a bunch of grief about it.
Right.
So
until, that's what they do.
Right. Well, kids are jerks. So, you know, until he was older in life, actually, until he actually went to war and came back, did he or could he appreciate the stories? He hated them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Up until that point, because he got bullied for it. But when he went to war, even though he was still getting harassed about the stories, he realized so many people know about these stories.
Right.
So many people, all these men that I'm in this war with, enjoyed these stories when they were kids.
Right.
You know, so he gained an appreciation for the stories. Anyway, so that's
it's that. It's a great movie.
Right. Yeah.
It is a great movie.
Yeah, it's very good. I'd see it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you find out any other information? Because I was asking you earlier if, how many of those Winnie the Pooh books or stories did he actually write, A.A. Milne?
He actually wrote, I believe it was two books.
Just two?
Just two. Winnie the Pooh came out in 1926.
Right.
And The House at Pooh Corner came out in 1928.
But what about The Very, Very Blustery Day and all that?
In those two books.
Okay.
There were three featurettes that were later used as segments.
Right.
The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
Winnie the Pooh Discovers the Seasons, and The New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Did I say that one already?
Yeah.
Anyway, they were the books were broken down into segments.
Smaller stories.
And short turned stories. Into. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Are you too familiar with the whole Winnie the Pooh thing?
Oh, no, not at all.
I mean...
They are.
I remember Grammy, my mom, reading those to me when I was a little boy. And then, of course, as I got older, they would come out with the little movies and stuff like that. I guess mm-hmm. they were, I don't know if they were Disney or whatever they were, but
they were Disney. And I did find the three segments that were originally released were Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Tree in 1966.
Right.
Winnie the Pooh and the Blustery Day, 1968. Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2, 1974.
Okay, right.
And I think we had all of those.
Which one of the Pooh characters was your favorite?
Oh,
you can't choose.
Yeah. Piglet?
Yeah.
Eeyore.
Yeah. Eeyore. Ty was always Eeyore.
Right. Yeah. I liked Owl.
Yes, he was always so wise.
And I liked Rabbit. Rabbit was always
a dick.
Very nervous, had a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a dick. He was mean.
Yeah.
I like Tigger.
Mm-hmm. Tigger.
Tigger's cool.
T-I double gutter.
He seems like he could be annoying, though.
Oh, yeah. He'd get on your nerves after about 5 minutes.
Sit still, damn it!
But it is amazing how the two books written way back when, in 1926,
right.
They're known the world over.
Right.
People know the songs. People know the stories.
Ty, sing it for us.
Uh-huh.
Hannah?
No.
Steph?
I'm short, fat, proud of that.
Yeah, but do it with a little melody. Can't. No. All right. Try to give these people
the wonderful thing about tiggers is tiggers are wonderful things.
Okay.
Their heads are made out of rubber. Their bottoms are made out of springs. Right. They're bouncy, trouncy, bouncy, bouncy. Fun.
Time for a break. No,
but the most wonderful thing about tiggers is I'm the only one.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. So anyway, if you haven't seen Goodbye Christopher Robin, you should do so because it's a good movie. It's not like what I thought it was going to be, where it was going to be all animated and stuff like that. So it's a story about Christopher Robin and his dad, really.
Right.
Their relationship.
Their family history.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. It was definitely a different time.
Yes.
and the, you know, the way they interacted with Billy Moon and their nanny. And
well, I don't know. I don't know that, you know, their family sort of dynamic is typical. They were kind of standoffish toward him. They almost acted like,
they were well-to-do before. Well-to-do,
aristocratic, and they were like, you know, what are we doing with this kid?
Right.
You know.
Which was kind of sad.
That was sad, too. But he had a good nanny.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. She dug him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yep. Hey, here's something else from your childhood. I saw in the paper today that the, oops. I flipped the pages and I flipped them back without realizing it.
He's shuffling papers.
The Brady Bunch house is for sale.
Yes. Yes, I saw that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. How much they won?
Well, they won a lot.
$1.8 million.
$1.885. What the hell does that mean?
It's $1,885,000.
Oh, all
just,
right.
You know, we'll buy two.
Mm-hmm. It says that a couple, George and Violet McAllister, bought the two-bedroom, three-bathroom, split-level house in Studio City, in the Studio City neighborhood of Los Angeles in 1973. What do you suppose they paid for it?
$150,000.
Nope. $61,000.
Wow.
Right. Now, they have upgraded the house and you know, redecorated, that kind of thing.
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I went on Realtor.com as soon as I saw it. Okay. You know me. Right. I went right to Realtor.com. The interior floor plan is nothing.
Well, right. Well, see, the thing is, the only time they showed that house was in the beginning credits and the ending credits.
Right.
All of the inside of the house was done at the studio.
At the studio. Right. So the floor plan is nothing.
Because they say here that the house is a two-bedroom, three-bath house. Well, you had the two girls or the three girls all shared a room. The three boys shared a room. And then you had the mom and dad had a room. Alice had a room.
Right.
So right there, there's four bedrooms, you know.
Right. And if you've ever thought about it.
And they had AstroTurf grass in the back.
Yes, they did.
How cool is that? That's what I want.
When you think about the interior of the, quote, Brady Bunch house, what, the studio set.
Right.
It didn't align with the exterior of the house.
Oh, see, you'd have to be an architect to realize that.
Well, Mr. Brady was an architect.
I know, but I mean, but when I was watching it, I was...
Well, see, that was one of the things that always bothered me.
Marcia.
Marcia.
I was all hot and bothered by Marcia.
No, when you walk in, you know, on the set, when you would walk in the front door, the stairs went, that were to the right.
Yeah.
And then went to the bedrooms.
Yeah.
Well, on the exterior of the house slants down to the right. So there's no second story. Am I the only person that ever that freaked them out?
No.
That the inside of the Brady Bunch house did not match the exterior?
See, that's the problem with you, Steph. You can't take you to a movie or anything, you pick it apart.
I don't mean to
How
pick it apart.
How do you ever enjoy anything?
I don't.
He doesn't.
I mean, for Christ's sake.
It's like, wait.
Not once did I ever think about that, watching that show.
That the floor plan does not match the exterior of the house.
I was not watching the show when Marcia got hit in the nose with the football and go,
oh, my nose.
Yeah, but...
That house doesn't match.
That house is not
There's
matching up.
There's something weird going on here.
Her nose might be messed up.
We need to call
somebody.
Let me
tell you something here.
I might need to write a letter.
We didn't land on the moon. I know it.
This architect guy, he's faking it.
It just, the floor plan didn't match the exterior of the house. That's why as soon as was for sale.
I brought Stanley Kubrick in here to fake the Brady Bunch.
Now I got to know what you found about Goodbye Christopher Robin.
That house is great. That house was for
sale.
But the inside didn't match.
Well, I have to go back and look after seeing the movie because I don't think it did. I remember looking at the interior pictures of the Christopher Robin house, and it did not match the movie. But I didn't check that yet.
How about the Griffin residence? Does the exterior match the inside?
That doesn't count. That's a cartoon.
Yeah.
It counts.
You can do anything in there.
Yeah, that cartoons don't count. No, but I did. As soon as I saw it, I copied and pasted the address. I was on realtor.com clicking through those pictures. I'm like, what is the floor plan of this house? Right. I've been dying to know for 50 years.
But here's one of the things. It says that almost 50 people a day show up at that house to take pictures and stuff like that. Now, if I'm paying almost $2 million for a house...
You get to shoot them on
site. Get out of my yard.
Well, snipe them from the bedroom
window.
Here's
the thing. The biggest interest from purchasers of the house are developers because it sits on a third of an acre, and developers are looking at it as a teardown.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the sad part.
I want the Amityville house. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's a cool house, and that one does match.
It does.
That one they did right.
Yeah, but a bunch of people were murdered in it. And
all those flies.
It's pretty metal.
All the flies.
It's a situation.
It's pretty metal.
You don't need that.
Yeah. We have enough issues, and we don't need hauntings.
We're trying to shoot a music video.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So I watched two programs on Sunday afternoon. And it got me to thinking about, you hear about let's say, North Korea, and you hear about Russia and other countries like that have all of this propaganda that they send out to their people to make them hate the United States, that kind of thing. All right.
And how wonderful they are.
And how wonderful they are. So I'm watching these two different shows on Sunday afternoon. One was about...
it was way early Sunday morning.
Well, one was about North Korea, and it really got into what everyday life is like in North Korea. Mm-hmm. And very bleak.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, they went into this household, and there was, no furniture at all. Mm. These people were sitting on the floor. They had pictures of Kim Jong-un's grandfather, his dad, and him on the wall. And, it's just...
fruits were fake.
And that's basically all that they had in this house. And everybody's sitting on the floor and, in front of the pictures. And it just wasn't a lot going on. The people that were... filming the documentary, they weren't allowed to film. Like, if they were looking at those pictures, they could only focus the camera on the picture, not what it said underneath.
Oh.
And the guy, there was a handler there, and he was getting testy. He was like, no, move it up. I mean, he was getting kind of
what did it say?
God only knows. I have no idea.
They didn't put it in there later? They were there.
They did, but they gave it to you in Korean, and I didn't understand it. So,
well, most Oriental countries.
Yeah.
They don't have furniture like we do.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, but they don't all just sit on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have couches and stuff.
Not really.
I mean, they didn't have anything.
They do, but they also don't.
Yeah,
it's a cushion.
Yeah.
There weren't even any of those. It was just nothing.
Yeah, well, maybe they tidied up and put them in the closet. Yeah, I don't know.
They roll a lot of their stuff up. They'll put it in a different room.
Yeah, furniture isn't really their thing.
They're very neat.
Mm. It looked horrible.
it looked horrible.
But then the other one was about... Vladimir Putin.
He's strong and powerful.
He's a bad dude, man. I mean, he's really bad. I mean, the way that this documentary came across is he's somebody that we need to be worried about.
Yeah.
He's done some horrible things.
Oh, and Kim Jong-un hasn't.
Right. They showed this one incident where...
Yeah, but he's incompetent. Putin knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Well, they showed an incident where these Chechen rebels took this elementary school, right? And Putin decided, I'm not going to talk to these guys at all. I'm going to stay on vacation. He was over in Sochi on vacation. All of the other leaders are like, you got to come back for this. This is big. You got to do something about this situation at the school. Well, what he did is he came back and he told the army, go over there and just blow the shit out of them. So they shot the building all up, killed over 300 kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, talk about not dealing with terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, we will... I mean, come on, man.
Dude, he's crazy.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway.
And Trump loves him.
But then, yeah, well, yeah. But then it started me to thinking. It's like, okay, so is this like United States? Is this a U.S. Propaganda that they're sending to all of us to make them look so bad? I mean, can't they show us something positive about either one of those places?
Not really.
Is it not even possible?
Trump keeps saying that he's strong and powerful.
You know, North Korea, we as Americans, and I've said this before,
right.
As Americans, we do not understand at all what life in North Korea is like. I mean, everything they do is controlled by the government.
Right.
They must have the three pictures on the wall. They will randomly come into your home to make sure that the pictures are prominently displayed and that they're not dusty. Right. I mean, they come in with a white glove.
Well, part of the documentary, there was a doctor, a prominent eye doctor, who was Korean by birth. Went back to North Korea with this film crew, and what he was going to do is he was going to perform 1,000 cataract operations. Okay, now, here's the thing. The cataract operations, now usually you think of somebody older.
Right.
With a cataract situation. Well, there are so many young people over there with cataracts, and they're saying because they're all malnourished.
Right. Poor nutrition.
Yeah, poor nutrition. So... it was amazing. It's like he would do these operations, and then they'd have everybody like in this big room, like in an auditorium, and he would go through the crowd, and he would peel off like the eye bandages, that kind of thing. Almost every single one of them, as soon as they peeled off the bandages and realized they could see, they all went up to the wall where those pictures were, that were prominently posted, and you know.
Thank you.
Swore their allegiance to, you know, Kim Jong-un and, you know.
Thank you for this gift.
Yeah,
and,
right.
So yeah.
They're pretty brainwashed over there.
Yeah, they're too far gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and.
So maybe it wasn't propaganda. Maybe it's just a.
And they have to have.
This is what's going on over there.
They have to have a radio on in their house at all times at a certain volume. And the radio is constantly. Blaring the propaganda. I mean, it's ingrained. It's 24/7.
Right.
It's frightening.
It is frightening.
Absolutely frightening.
You're frightening.
Careful, I cut your hair. Mm-hmm. You could get a Kim Jong-un the next time.
Hey, here's some good news. You know how we talk about a lot of times on this show about how much plastic garbage there is in the world?
Yes.
How, like, off the coast of California, between California and Hawaii, there's a plastic island the size of the state of New York floating, and it's all plastic bottles and straws and things like that. We've been talking about, like, the city of St. Petersburg starting to now ban straws at restaurants and bars and things like that.
Well, they're not really banning them. They're just not handing them out.
Frowning upon them.
Well, it's good to know that this whole plastic trash thing is becoming like a global sort of...
Good.
Yeah.
It needs to.
Mm-hmm. Al-Shabaab, you know about Al-Shabaab?
Yeah.
That's the Somalia-based militant Islamic group that has massacred thousands of civilians. They recently announced a ban on plastic bags... in their territory.
Well, good for them.
They don't care about
massacring people.
Thousands of people. But
the plastic is an
they're
issue.
They're concerned about the plastic bags. They say that the plastic bags pose a serious threat to the well-being of both humans and animals.
Mm-hmm.
So let's stop doing that. Let's get rid of the plastic bags.
It's just amazing how much plastic is in our lives.
Yeah, everything.
And... In watching, you know,
all the plastic in this room.
I'm a big Turner Classic Movie fan.
Right.
And I love watching old movies.
I mean, you thought those pearls were real. Those are plastic.
Yeah, they're part of the plastic.
I'm just kidding.
Go ahead. But in watching old movies, and some movies that really, well, to me aren't that old. I realize how old I am.
Mm.
like day. We watched a movie the other night from 1980, and the IVs were still glass bottles.
Glass bottles, right, yeah.
You know, groceries came home in a paper sack.
Right.
Things were packaged.
I remember when shampoo bottles were still glass.
Right.
Whoever thought of that?
Yeah, and, that's dangerous.
And but in Jeez. Looking at old movies, we survived without all of this plastic in right. every product. Mm-hmm. You know, everything you buy at the grocery store is wrapped and bagged and triple packaged.
Yeah.
We've gone overboard.
Yeah.
And we can go backwards.
I don't know that we're going to be able to tackle the problem of all this plastic because I really don't know that anybody knows what to do with it. You know, you can't. It's not like you can just start to incinerate it. Can you imagine the toxic plume that would send out? That would be as bad as nuclear winter.
Right. But there are definite options out there, and we used to have them.
Yeah, the option. Yeah, we need to stop using it, but right. We have to figure out something to do with all that's out there.
That's already out there.
Mm-hmm. I've seen pictures recently of like a guy scuba diving, and where you would, you know, in the past see like schools of fish, it's all plastic.
Yeah.
Plastic bottles and bags that are just like.
And just trash.
Yeah, just. Gross.
Gross.
Absolutely gross.
Terrible.
Right.
Absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, we're going to play...
Stump the Chump?
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
We can do that.
We'll play Stump the Chump. Do we have a theme?
We do.
All right. What is it?
It's Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. All right.
Of course it is.
All right, everybody.
I love Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I think we all do. I think everybody does. We're going to break. When we come back, we're going to have a Winnie the Pooh-themed version of Stump the Chump. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. And if at any time in the show you want to give us a call, please do so at 727-498-0502 or shoot us a tweet at Marco Radio Show 1. This is a song called I'm Living It Down. We'll be right back. Right, that It's Living It Down, and that is by Delbert McClinton.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I played that song. It is a good song. I played that song this evening because it was recommended to me by Grandpa Ron.
Nice.
Yes.
Grandpa Ron is a big Delbert McClinton fan. I actually saw him live one time at the Bartender's Ball in Washington, D.C. That was a good night. A very good night.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Dad was telling me that this particular song came off of an album by the name of Nothing Personal. And he said that on this album, a lot of the tracks had different musicians on it. And one of the different musicians was Denmont Tench, who was one of the Heartbreakers, one of Tom Petty's band members. And a keyboardist or pianist, I don't remember his first name, but his last name was McCurdy. But all of those guys ended up in, or were from, like Gainesville.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if Delbert McClinton was from Gainesville, but certainly Denmont Tench grew up with Tom Petty.
Right.
And I guess McCurdy ended up in Gainesville, too. But anyway, yeah, it's a fun song. And I played that one for you, Dad.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, good song. Go.
Mm-hmm. Liked it. Okay, so before the break, we said we were going to play our Winnie the Pooh version of Stump the Chump.
Yes.
Does everybody have their bell, their ringer, their hooter? Yes. Let's do it.
All right. This is going to go quick.
All right.
Who is Pooh Bear's best friend? Anna.
Piglet.
Yes. See? Who?
Ow.
Who? Close. Who always loses his tail? Anna.
Eeyore.
Yes. This one's tough. What is the first line of the poem that Christopher Robin tells Pooh? Is it "keep going all the way"? You're true to yourself. You are braver than you believe. Or be cool. Mark.
Be cool, Winnie the Pooh.
No.
You're true to yourself.
No. So you're down to "keep going all the way" or "you're braver than you believe."
I think it's that one.
You're braver than you believe. Yeah.
Yes. So, and I can tell you, where is it? Promise me you'll always remember you're braver than you believe and stronger than you seem and smarter than you think. That's from A.A. Milne.
A.A. Milne.
Who is the youngest in the 100 Acre Wood? Mark. No.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Ty.
Rue.
Yes.
Rue.
Rue. So Hannah has That's two. Right.
Kanga, another one of my favorites.
Hannah has two. Ty has two. What does Piglet do when he is scared or afraid of something?
Hides.
I'll give you the choices. He stutters.
Yes. He does.
All right, Hannah gets that one. So Hannah goes up three. Who is the only girl character? Mark.
Kanga.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Mark is on the board. Where does Pooh go to think?
The tree stump.
Which he calls?
The thinking stump? I don't know.
Close enough. His thoughtful spot.
Aww. His thoughtful spot.
And with that, Hannah wins.
All right. Okay. Cool. Congratulations, Hannah.
Yay, Hannah.
Got you a plate of geckos over there. Yeah. Go ahead and finish those off.
Clams. Clams.
So, unfortunately, they have to come out with this ad, and I've started hearing it. I think I heard it for the first time this week. And it's an ad about not leaving your baby in the hot car.
Mm. Yeah, so try putting something important back there so you don't forget your child.
Well, that's part of the ad, and I've only heard it on the radio. I've not seen it on
TV.
Put
your phone on your baby.
Those are all great ideas. Unfortunately, it supposedly happens dozens of times every year. Dozens of children die every year.
Every year. All across America.
Yeah, from being left in hot cars. It's not just down here in Florida. Yeah. I mean, it seems like we hear about one or two a week almost. It's so sad. In a lot of these cases, people get so distracted.
Right.
I don't understand that. I don't know how you get so distracted that you forget your kid in the car.
Well, a change in routine.
Yeah.
You know, something is different.
I mean, the people that leave their kid in the car on purpose, and you hear those stories too.
Yeah.
Those people ought to just go straight to jail. But how heartbreaking would it be as a parent if you got so distracted, it was a change in your routine.
Right.
And, you know, you go to work, you come out to work, you come out from work, and it's like, oh, my God.
Right.
You know, what have I done?
Right.
I just don't know how you can go, like, any longer than just a few minutes and not go, oh, my God, where's the kid?
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I would love for somebody to call in 727-498-0502. If you've ever forgotten your kid in the car, and then, you know, look, I'm not going to judge anybody. I mean, it obviously happens.
Well, I locked Ty in the car.
Yeah, but you knew where he was. It's not like you didn't know where he was. It's not like you didn't know he was in there.
As soon as I shut the door.
That was an accident.
I realized what I had done.
You just accidentally locked the door.
Yeah.
With the keys inside and the baby.
Yeah, but you didn't. I mean, that's not like you went shopping or went to work or anything like that. You knew. But I'd love to talk to somebody who it's like, oh, yeah, I remember this time. I don't normally take the kid. I took the kid and I did my regular morning stuff, got to work, went inside, and it was like, you know, oh my God.
Right.
Jimmy's still out in the car, you know.
I forgot to drop him off at daycare.
I would love to talk to somebody that actually forgot. And then, you know, what is that feeling like when you've got to be in a complete panic?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a month or so ago, I'm driving to work and realized I forgot to put deodorant on. And it's like, how did I do that? I do the same thing every morning.
That's almost more serious.
But something, you know, I don't remember if the phone rang, if the dog needed out. Something disrupted my normal routine. Mm-hmm. And as I'm driving to work, it was like, I didn't put any deodorant on,
right.
You know, but that's, to me, it's not the same thing, but I, if I can forget at 51 years old, if I can forget to put my deodorant on before I go to work, I can see how people get distracted, especially if maybe dropping the child off at daycare isn't part of their normal routine, where dad has to take the baby. That between traffic and commute time and whatever,
I would like to think if I ever had to take one of the kids someplace, and it's something that I didn't normally do, that I would be so freaked out by the fact that I'm doing this now that, you know,
yeah, that would be you.
I would be on high alert, you know, I would be, my main goal would be to get him out of the car.
Right.
So I could take off.
That's why you never did it. That's why there was never a change in the routine.
What a sad situation. And for those babies, what a horrible, horrible way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally cook.
Yeah.
I mean, inside some of those cars in the summertime, it's like 120 degrees. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's hot.
That's hot.
It's real hot, especially
very hot.
For a baby. Very sad. Another ad that I've seen lately, and I think this is great, and it has to do a lot with what's going on with like e-commerce. You think about Amazon and things like that are bringing packages to people's front doors all day long, every day, you know. And you hear, especially around the holidays, you hear about the porch pirates.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Well, a company has come out with this device called... the Ring video doorbell.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I saw a commercial about it, and this is fantastic because you can hook it up via, like, Bluetooth to your phone. So even if you're not at home, it will alert you when it sees somebody on your porch.
Yes.
And the commercial I saw the other day, you are now allowed to or able to speak to those people.
Yes. look, a lot of my people have them.
I mean, the commercial shows somebody coming up on the porch and grabbing a package, and the voice comes over and goes, what are you doing?
Right.
I see you.
Well,
I see the car that you're in. I see, is that your boyfriend?
Right.
You know.
Nice hair. Right. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a guy that his alert on his phone is a dog barking, like Tilly barking, loud, you know, big aggressive dog. So whenever anybody walks up to his door, especially if he's home and the phone's inside the house, it barks and they think he has a dog. It's hysterical. But he knows exactly who it is. A lot of my people have them. And yes, they can talk.
I wonder how much
I wish
they
I
are.
Had one last night.
Yeah. I'm thinking about getting you one.
I wonder how much they are because it's a...
they're about, I don't know, $100, $200.
It's a very ingenious idea. And I'm telling you, whoever came up with that is going to make a fortune, especially with the way that the e-commerce is blowing up. I mean, it won't be long before none of us go out, you know, go anywhere to buy anything. Everything's going to be delivered.
Yes.
And you're not always going to sit at home and wait for it.
Right. Who sits home and waits?
I think probably criminals with the knowledge that those devices are already out there. I wonder if it's already started to curb, like, the porch pirating.
I'm sure.
Well, if they're smart enough. Mm-hmm. Most of them aren't smart enough. But the other thing
is, wouldn't you just go up to a porch with the big rubber nose and the glasses and, you know, the Groucho Marx glasses and go, yeah, I'm up here. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? No, but
is this your new TV? Now it's mine.
With the Ring doorbell.
Waka, waka, waka.
You also know when your package arrives.
Yeah.
You know, because it will alert you when the driver approaches the door with your package. And you can go, hey, could you put that behind the bush?
Right.
You know, could you hide that for me?
Yeah.
No, those are awesome. And the quality of the video is amazing.
Well, if it's anything like what they showed on that commercial, it's like, wow. It's
spot
on.
Like,
you know, it's not grainy.
No.
Yeah.
You're not talking old school, you know, CCTV,
right.
Black and white, grainy. No, it's true video.
True video.
They're cool.
I think it's a great idea. Let's see. Here's something. This is a story. I mean, we love our animals.
Yes.
I'm not crazy about animals being in captivity, but I guess in some situations it's a necessity. You know, maybe they were, you know, injured and that kind of thing, and they were brought back to health, and now they can't be re-released into the wild, that kind of thing. But at the New Orleans Zoo,
yes,
I think it was earlier this week, a jaguar got out of its pen.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
And it went on a killing spree.
Yes, it did.
Killed 9 animals.
Oh, my God.
I mean, how hungry does this thing have to be? Or how pissed does it have to be at these other animals? Do you suppose that this jaguar is in its cage... And it almost kind of reminds me of like watching a Pixar movie where all the animals, you know, are animated and they can talk and things like that.
Yeah.
And communicate with each other. Are they all making fun of this jaguar?
Right, probably.
He's like
a real jagass.
I'm gonna get out of here. And then you're all gonna
I'm
be
gonna
in
eat
trouble.
You.
Yeah. Or are they not feeding him right? Are they feeding him like 9 lives instead of steak?
Right.
I mean, what are they? It's a jaguar, damn it.
Well,
I need some meat.
And apparently he's quite healthy.
Yeah.
You know.
Nimble.
Well, he's a jaguar.
And
all right, so what are the animals that he ate?
Well, he ate 4 alpacas.
Really? Wow.
Jesus. Yeah.
Those are big.
Yeah. Yeah, he got out and ate 4 alpacas, excuse me, an emu.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah, those are quick.
Those are quick.
And not like, in a cage.
They're like ostriches,
yeah.
Right? He ate a fox.
Ooh. Right?
And, but he also attacked two more alpaca and another fox that later died from their injuries.
Nice.
So were those the closest pens to his, or did he seek them out?
Yeah, or was he on a scavenger hunt?
Did he, you know, cruise on by the hippos?
Smelled familiar smells. Yeah,
and
right.
And the giraffe.
Didn't try to take out an elephant or nothing?
No, like, I'm
going after those
little dumb ones.
The alpaca.
I'm telling you, the alpacas, that asshole emu, and those two foxes.
Yeah.
They were all buddies.
Yeah, they were all ganging up on him.
And I think they picked on this jaguar. I really do. And he's thinking he's
going to stand his ground.
Pacing back and forth. He probably didn't eat for 3 days thinking, I'm going to get myself so hungry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on the biggest killing spree that anybody's ever seen
I'm
in a zoo.
Eat all of
you
them.
And you and you.
Right.
Yeah.
Not you.
Yeah. Done.
Do you suppose he walked by his cage and stopped and put his paw up to his eyes? Like,
yeah.
Watching you.
Okay, you.
Watching you.
Looking you. At you.
Yeah. Here I come.
Yeah, but apparently he was able to chew through a stainless steel cable mesh. Like roof of his cage.
Enclosure.
Enclosure, right.
Yeah,
stainless
they
steel.
They were picking on him.
Stainless steel enclosure.
He was mad.
Yeah, I mean.
He's been working on that for a while.
And he made a hole that was like 10 by 8, so he squeezed through this tiny hole. He was pissed.
He was going.
Yeah, he was going.
He was going.
We got him.
Yeah, he needed out.
Yeah.
But is he, okay, did they kill him?
No, they didn't. That's
oh, good.
Good
okay,
thing.
Good, good, good.
They did not kill him. That's okay. Fantastic.
He's got a bunch of teardrop tattoos, though.
Yeah.
All right.
But bunch of street cred.
Got some serious street cred now, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's messing with him in the zoo.
Yeah.
He's top dog now.
And there was another jaguar in that cage that didn't go anywhere. So now that jaguar is like, hey, we're cool, right?
We're cool, man. We're cool.
I didn't say anything to you.
We're cool.
You want my dinner?
Yeah.
Take what you want.
Sleeping with one eye open.
Take what you want, Manson.
Yeah, sure.
You can have top bunk.
Right? Yeah, right. You own this place, man. You're the man.
You're the man.
Mm-hmm. Need anything?
Right. Let's see. What else do I have here?
That's too funny.
Well, I do have. Hey,
they should make a Pixar film about that.
We need
though.
To go out right after the show, unless you did it already. Mega Millions tonight.
Got it.
$422 million.
Yeah, let's win that.
$422 million is the estimated jackpot for tonight's Mega Million drawing.
Yes.
That would do it.
Yeah, that would make a dent.
If for some reason we don't win tonight. Tomorrow night, we have a chance to win $110 million in the Powerball.
Yes, because I have that ticket as well.
I was listening to this show today, and they were talking about, the one guy was talking, if I win, now they got everybody in the studio, like the same amount of people we do. Okay, immediately I go and I buy each one of you a car, and then I give you $1 million. I put $1 million in your bank, and I'm like, you're the best friend ever.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That sounds great.
Well, here's the deal. We win. We'll still be at Pegasus Nightclub next Friday.
Yes.
For the metal show. Mm-hmm. The show must go on.
But we're rolling up in a big-ass, beautiful tour bus.
Yeah.
And we're going to have our own driver.
Our own driver.
Because we're going to be in the back popping champagne bottles.
And you know what? We'll have roadies. And they can set up all of our equipment and all Ty's equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole band's going to have all brand new equipment. And they're all going to have costumes.
And each one will have their own assistant
like the kids costumes.
To put all their stuff together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that CD will be coming out. Real soon.
Yeah, we're going to actually, the back of the tour bus is going to have a recording studio in it.
Right.
We're actually going to do the Marco Radio Happy Hour show from that tour bus.
Yes. Oh, my God, how great would that be?
How about we have it wrapped, like you can wrap the vehicles now. Like one side of it says Deceptive Intruder, and then on the other side it says Marco Radio Happy Hour show.
That's what we need to do. We would never have to do the show on a back porch with no fan.
We're going
to
buy
outside
in Florida
again. Nah, that's too much work. We'd
no,
find
we're
something
gonna be Mark's
else.
Media.
Yeah.
Mark's Media.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah.
All right. Hey, so let's keep dreaming.
Yeah. Right.
I have these quotes that I like to do at the end of every show. This first one says, there's no room for demons when you're self-possessed.
Yes.
That's Carrie Fisher. You know her, Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm.
The next one says, I bring out the worst in my enemies, and that's how I get them to defeat themselves.
Yes.
That came from attorney Roy Cohn. The next one says, the true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching.
Yes.
Isn't that true? That comes from a basketball coach, John Wooden. And the last one says, by failing to prepare, you're preparing
to fail.
To fail. Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, and I have two.
Oh, okay.
Two more from A.A. Milne.
All right.
Weeds are flowers, too, once you get to know them.
Oh.
I liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was warm and fuzzy. And another one is, one of the advantages of being disorderly is that one is constantly making exciting discoveries.
Nice.
It's true.
All it's right. Very true.
Well, here we are again, everybody. We're at the end of our 2-hour journey.
Yes.
I've had fun. I hope you've all had fun.
Oh, yeah.
Hannah Claire, do you have anything that you would like to add here at the end of the show?
The lizards were delicious.
Good.
Thank you, Lori and Donnie.
Thank you, Lori and Donnie. You great hunters.
Yes.
Yes.
Good job. Those are quick little bastards. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you got so many.
Oh, you should see Lori. She's really nimble.
Yes.
She's
awesome.
They just come right to her, though, because she's so, the gecko whisperer.
Right. Steph, do you have anything you want to add here at the end of the show?
See you next Friday. Pegasus Nightclub.
Pegasus Nightclub.
Whoa.
Another on-site live production.
Are you going
hopefully.
To that one?
I don't know.
Sure you are. You said you would, damn it.
Your
now job now was dumb.
Now I'm backing out. That sounds terrible.
This one, I don't think they have an outside area, so we're going to have to broadcast inside.
So there's going to be a bunch of unicorns everywhere and death metal.
It's going to be great. You're going to love it. Ty, do you have anything you want to add here at the end of the show?
Nope.
Nothing. Okay, so I don't have anything really other than listen next week.
Yes.
We're going to be live out of Pegasus Lounge or
Pegasus Nightclub.
All right, everybody. If that's it, I will say Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, and I Miss You, Mom.
Everyone love everyone.
All for one and one for all.
Balls to the wall or not at all.
All right, everybody. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you live every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. We love speaking to you every Friday evening. Love having you along.
Yes.
I hope you had fun, and we look forward to speaking to you again next week. Good night. Have a safe weekend. I hope it doesn't rain all weekend. Go out and do some yard work.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's a big deal. Good night.
If you want to make a move, then you better come in. It's just ability, the reason that we're so thin. Living and dying and the stories that are true. Secret to a collapse.